Take off your jacket, because it's time to get deep under the covers with a loose read.
Morning, Nate.
Morning.
How are you, Nate?
Good. Thanks for having me on, and I've got a very weird book.
Yeah. I'm excited to hear about it. We got a Nobel Prize winner.
We do have a Nobel Prize winner. A few
this
years
is exciting.
I've got a book called Vame by John Foss. And he won the Nobel Prize back in 2023, which is kind of, for literature, I mean, for all of them, really, it's like a lifetime achievement award.
Yeah.
But his, generally you'd think he won this because of this book that he spent like a decade writing called Septology, which is probably comes in at about 900 pages.
Ooh.
Or a single sentence.
What?
And is kind of completely bewildering.
Wait, no full stops?
No full stops.
Oh, my God. Okay.
I think there might be one full stop at the end, just to, like,
just
it
to
out
really
there.
End it. Just, yeah. That's crazy.
It is crazy. And it's a reason that Septology, not a great place to begin with him.
Yeah, fair.
And what really draws me to John Foss is his shorter fiction, which is kind of similarly strange, but caps about, I think this book, Vame, is probably about 120 pages.
It looks nice and concise.
And
yeah.
It really means you get the style and his incredibly individual way of writing, but it's not 900 pages, and you get it in that shorter chunk. He has a book called Alice at the Fire, which was a few years ago, which is one of my favourite books of all time. Mm. And that's about 90 pages and puts five generations of people in this house, and it swaps between time, and it's kind of a story of their relationship with the environment they live in, and how that's formed this family, and how they've formed it.
In 90 pages. Okay, we're dealing with a concise person here, unless he wants to be really long-winded.
His writing is kind of amazing because it's actually the vocabulary is very simple.
Oh, cool.
But his writing constantly kind of loops around itself and disintegrates and then comes back into form.
Crazy.
But this one, Vame, is again a small story. It kind of split into three sections, and I quite like this one, and I think it might be his most approachable. Because as kind of weird and surreal as it is, it kind of has elements of a farce to it. Like, it's a bit ridiculous in points. And it's three sections. It starts with a man called Jack Geer. Sorry, all his books also take place in, like, the north of Norway. So some of the names are potentially... Yeah. I think his name is Jack Geer. And his section is essentially him going on a boat from a small town to a bigger town, Bergen, where he goes and gets ripped off buying a needle and thread. And this becomes all he can think about for the whole kind of course of the story.
Okay.
And then he goes to a smaller town and again gets ripped off buying some needle and thread. And this kind of makes him replay every embarrassing moment he's ever had in his life.
Okay, I can relate.
Which, this is why it's kind of like a farce, because I think
that is
something incredibly relatable. And but central to that is when he was a young man and he bought a boat and he named it Aline because he had a crush on a girl in town and he'd never talked to her. And he painted her name on his boat and essentially, he's very, very much a kind of loner, and he's remained paralyzed in kind of an extreme level of embarrassment that he did this. Mm. And then Aline left town. And then he's sweeping on his boat. He's staying the night at the island that she moved to. And then she turns up at night and knocks on his boat and goes, "I want you to take me back to our hometown. I'm going to move in with you.
Whoa.
Let's go." And he's a bit, and this is the other thing.
Love that for Jack Geer.
All three men in this are, like, unbelievably passive. And Aline, though you never hear from her, is kind of this godlike figure in their lives, where she kind of controls all the kind of fundamental decisions that any of them have ever made. So in his head, there's very little dialogue to this. There's very little dialogue in the book.
Okay.
And it's kind of the contrast between the thoughts and the dialogue is very funny in all three sections, because he's thinking, this is weird. What's happening?
Yeah, what
and
a farce.
What he's saying to her is kind of like, oh, yeah. Yeah, we can go. You need to leave right now. Yep, that works. And you then go to the second story, which is his best friend. And this is where a bit of the weirdness. Foss is kind of intrigued by liminal spaces. And the second part's a bit creepy, which is Foss's friend Frank, who again is sitting in his house and someone's knocking on the door. And you kind of get 15 pages of him rationalizing why he shouldn't open the door. And he doesn't. And then Jack Gear comes around later in the day. They have a short conversation where passive kind of individual men, they talk completely around each other. They haven't seen each other in ages. You get the sense they both want to bring that up. They never do. And then he finds out later that Jack Gear had actually drowned in the morning. The knocking was happening.
Oh my god. No. It's a dark turn.
And then again it cuts to Frank. And there's big time jumps between this. And Frank is Elaine's husband, who she moved to the island with.
Yeah.
Who she left in the middle of the night. He then names his boat Elaine.
Okay, two boats.
He's just at his house. She turns up after Jackie has died and goes, okay, I've got a house. We're moving. Come with me. You then find out that his name actually isn't Frank, but when he met Elaine, she decided he should be called Frank. And he just kind of shrugged his shoulders and went...
A woman who knows what she wants.
Exactly.
All-powerful being.
he just kind of shrugged his shoulders and went, yep, my name's not Olaf anymore. My name's just Frank. And it is ridiculous. The whole thing kind of is dreamlike.
Yeah,
but
totally.
It's really effective, and the prose really helps, and it circles around. And I think it's Vane particularly is an interesting contrast, because we've had so many books recently about kind of the problem with men and the inner thoughts of men. I think of Flesh that won the Booker.
Yes, we've had a lot of that discourse around kind of masculinity and...
And Flesh, kind of all you really get is this mask. You never really see under it. And I'm thinking of Party Boy by Brendan Dukes.
Yeah, we talked about that last week.
Yeah, and that's a great book. And that's kind of about that buried trauma and pain.
Yeah.
What I find interesting about Vane is in all three of these men, unlike Flesh, you're always under the mask. You're seeing this kind of swirl of feeling and emotion and thought behind very stoic people. The contrast with the vocabulary and the thoughts, and it kind of... Foss is always interesting because he's fascinated by islands and he's fascinated by people who are alone, and that stoicism, that kind of Norwegian man who builds a log cabin and has a big beard.
Yeah, and doesn't see anyone for like 6 months straight.
Exactly, and yet if he nailed his hand to a board, wouldn't go to the hospital, would just kind of pull it out and go about his day.
Yeah.
And yeah, probably hasn't said I loved you to anyone in his entire life.
Yeah.
But what Foss kind of does is goes underneath that and shows that no one is like that. There's a depth of feeling there. Even when I just always think of the conversation around the fruit where they say it's this much money, the needle and thread that Jack gets ripped off on. And he buys it anyway. He just says yes, hands the money over. But there's just pages of him going back and forth
swirling.
In his mind, knowing that he's being ripped off, embarrassed that he's being ripped off, too embarrassed to walk away from the counter because he's gone and gotten the needle and thread. And just the swirling kind of thoughts that loop around into each other.
How did you feel when you were reading this book? Were you feeling like a little bit kind of like it was making you go crazy?
It does have that. It's almost meditative.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Because he kind of does this. It's very statement-led, and he'll go kind of, oh, this is going to be terrible because I'm going to try and paraphrase a sentence by a Nobel Prize-winning author. But it'll be, Jack Gear picked up the apple. The apple was red. Jack Gear thinks he should eat the apple.
Oh, it's very matter of fact.
Very matter of fact, and then loops around and very surprising things happen. But I think, and again, it's very dreamlike. There's this wonderful, I think, little quote, which I think could kind of sum up the book, where Jack Gehra is thinking about where what he'd want on his headstone when he died, and he just thinks all he'd want is just the sentence, and all was strange. And that essentially is the book, that everything is strange. It exists in this time or space. You couldn't really name when this actually happened. They kind of harken back to a better time, but yeah, people harken back to a better time and every time.
Every time, yeah.
And it kind of is that looking at life and the realisation that everything in it is fundamentally strange. Dream reality aren't cordoned off from each other, and very simple people who you would kind of think is quite boring, actually everyone has an incredibly fascinating inner life.
Yeah, complex to be human.
Yeah, as sort of absurd as this book sounds, I feel like there's going to be a lot of anxious people out there that feel quite seen.
Yeah,
by the character representation, maybe.
I think definitely.
Yeah.
Awesome. We've been talking about Vame by John Foss. Available now at Time Out Bookstore. Sounds like a ripper. Thank you so much, Nate.
Thanks.
Yes, thanks, Nate. Looking forward to catching up with you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
That was Loose Reads.